Science, technology, society, our lives, philosophy, and religion. This is Spark Dialogue Podcast, where it all comes together. I'm Elizabeth Fernandez.
It's a question that has haunted us for millennia. Are we alone? Finding life elsewhere in the universe would be an amazing discovery. But right now, we don't know if life is plentiful around other stars. We only have one data point, our Earth. And up until a few decades ago, we didn't even know that there were planets around other stars. But now, we face a universe teeming with planets. But is it also teeming with life? Up until recently, the search focused on looking for signatures of Earth-like planets orbiting stars much like our sun. But new research suggests that life may be more prevalent around smaller, dimmer, and colder stars. What's more, this life might not even exist yet. Instead, the universe may experience a renaissance of life 10 trillion years in the future. So, this might answer the question, why haven't we found life yet? Perhaps we are some of the first. I spoke with Dr. Avi Loeb, the chair of the astronomy department at Harvard, about this idea developed by him and his team. So in looking for life, where do we begin? We start with that old phrase, life as we know it.
We only know of one example of life on a rocky planet that we call the Earth, around the star that we call the Sun. Therefore, if we want to be the most conservative possible, we would speak about life as we know it, meaning chemistry in liquid water on the surface of a rocky object.
One of the most important signatures for life as we know it is water. Water, being a polar molecule, allows chemical reactions that can lead to development of complex molecules that are necessary for life.
Liquid water is necessary for the chemistry of life as we know it. Finding evidence for water would imply that there is at least water in the gas phase in the atmosphere of the planet, and therefore there is a potential for liquid water if the planet is warm enough. To have liquid water, it needs to be at the right distance from its host star that we call the habitable zone. If it's too close, the water would boil off the surface. And if it's too far away, it will freeze out. There is a whole issue of how water can be delivered to a planet. For example, in the case of the Earth, the thinking is that comets brought it in. They brought ice that melted on Earth. So it's not sufficient to just find traces of water in the atmosphere. There needs to be large enough quantities, and the planet has to have the right temperature to have liquid water on its surface. Now, to have liquid water, one needs an atmosphere, because otherwise, if you take ice and you warm it up, without an external pressure, it goes directly into a gas phase. So to keep liquid water, one needs an atmosphere, and that puts a constraint on the mass of the object that can host such an atmosphere to be similar to the mass of the Earth.
But simply finding water is not enough. Astronomers also look for the signatures of other chemicals, elements, and molecules that indicate that life could potentially be present. These signatures, called biomarkers, show up in the patterns of light or spectra of the atmospheres of these planets.
To do that, we want to look for the fingerprints of molecules that are byproducts of life. For example, oxygen that we find in the Earth's atmosphere would have disappeared from the atmosphere within a million years if life did not exist. So finding evidence for molecules like oxygen in combination with gases like methane would be indicative of life. And the way to find evidence for those is to monitor the planet. For example, if a planet passes in front of its host star, then a fraction of the starlight goes through the atmosphere of the planet, and one can search for the spectral fingerprints of these molecules in that light that goes through the planet's atmosphere. Another possibility is that even if the planet does not go in front of the star, one can separate the light that is reflected off the planet from the light that comes directly to us from the star, and then try to look for the spectral fingerprints in that reflected light from the planet. And we hope that within the next decade or two, there will be instruments that allow us to look for this very small, faint signature relative to the total amount of light that the star produces.
So now we know what signatures to look for to see if a planet potentially hosts life. But there are many, many stars out there. Where should we start? Which stars are hosting the most Earth-like planets?
Now, it turns out that the Sun is not a typical star. Stars with lower masses are much more common. And astronomers, by now, based on the Kepler satellite results, we know that about a quarter of all the stars have habitable planets with a mass comparable to that of the Earth around them. So a significant fraction of all the stars, in principle, may host life. And the question is, do they?
Avi's group did something unique. Rather than looking at just the current time and just stars like our Sun, they calculated at what time and where is life most likely.
So in our paper, we considered the likelihood of life as we know it to form between the appearance of the very first stars, 30 million years after the Big Bang, and the death of the last stars, 10 trillion years from now.
Looking at stars different from our Sun is also important, because stars of different sizes lead very different lives.
Stars of different masses have different lifetime. For example, the stars that are most common in our galaxy are the low-mass stars, and they burn their nuclear fuel much more slowly than the Sun. So a star with a tenth of the mass of the Sun lives for 1,000 times longer, about 10 trillion years.
So looking at all the stars over this remarkably large time of the universe, where and when should we expect to see the most planets that could host life?
The likelihood peaks in the distant future around low-mass stars. The most important thing is that the low-mass stars are longer-lived, so they survive for much longer, and therefore their chances of hosting life is higher than sun-like stars if you wait long enough. But they are also more numerous than sun-like stars. There are more of them. If you consider stars like the Sun, once the universe doubles its current age, they will all disappear. They will not exist anymore. So in the future, only low-mass stars will host life. When you combine these two effects, you end up with 1,000 times higher likelihood for life to exist around such low-mass stars than around sun-like stars. And if you ask yourself what's the relative likelihood in between now and the distant future for us, for life as we know it to exist, you find that most of the likelihood is actually in the future. So we are not at a typical place.
So according to their calculation, it's most likely that there will be many more planets capable of having liquid water on their surface in the future around smaller stars. But this does not answer the question, are these planets habitable? It's possible that having a low-mass star hosting your planet might not be such a good thing after all. Avi talks about these low-mass stars.
When they are born, they flare a lot, and it's quite possible that they evaporate the atmospheres of planets near them, and by that suppress the prospects for life around them. We just don't know.
The only way to tell for sure is to begin to look for planets around these low-mass stars.
The nearest star system to the Sun is Alpha Centauri, and it has one low-mass star. It's called Proxima Centauri. It has 12% of the mass of the Sun, so it's a very low-mass star. And if there is a habitable planet next to it, we could, in principle, address this question of whether there is life on it in our backyard. This is the nearest star to us. We can explore it and figure out whether it has life. And in addition to it, there are many more low-mass stars farther away. So in principle, within a decade or two, we can start building statistics about how likely is life to exist around stars of different masses. And there are two possibilities. Either we will find that life exists around stars like the Sun only, or that we will find that it exists around stars of all masses, going down to much lower mass stars. In which case, it would mean that the Sun is not typical.
We can't look for life in the future, but we can look at what we can see now. Using their results, we can come up with suggestions on how and where to look for life.
So fortunately, the astronomy community is already planning to search for life around stars of all masses, and the most common stars are low-mass stars, so there are plans already to do that. The instrumentation required for performing these searches is not with us yet, but within a decade, we should be able to start these searches.
Finding life around other stars very different from our sun not only answers the question, are we alone, but it also puts our existence into perspective.
The answer to the question of whether low-mass stars have life or not has an effect on us finding our place in the big scheme of things, in the context of the universe. It will tell us whether we are rare and special and premature, or whether we are typical. And I should say that it also is has important implications for cosmology, because cosmologists, over the years try to argue that the parameters of the universe have their values so that we exist. For example, there is this so-called anthropic argument for why the cosmological constant, which is the mass density of the vacuum, has the value that we observe. It is responsible for the acceleration of the universe. And if it had values much bigger than that, the universe would have accelerated very early on, and galaxies like the Milky Way would never form. So people argue that even though values bigger than the value that we observe for the cosmological constant may exist in other regions of space and time, we could ask this question only in a region of space and time that is our universe, where galaxies like the Milky Way can form and stars like the Sun can form inside of them. But they always assume that life around a star like the Sun in a galaxy like the Milky Way is the most likely form of life. And our paper puts that into a question because it argues that, no, actually, we might be premature, and the most likely form of life is around low-mass stars. So then if you want to find the cosmological constant value that maximizes the probability of life, it will not be the same as requiring that a galaxy like the Milky Way and a star like the Sun would form.
Until we find life around other stars, we still won't know whether we are alone or if we are typical. But Abby's unique perspective causes us to wonder, to think outside the box, and perhaps search for life in places that we might not have thought possible before.
This is Elizabeth Fernandez for Spark Dialogue Podcast. If you like us, don't forget to subscribe and rate us on iTunes. Thanks for listening.